This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Hello and welcome to Hit the Road. This is India's number one podcast for all you cycling and triathlon enthusiasts. My name is Rohan Thakkar and it's so good to be back with another exciting episode. So we had taken a break from our regular programming because the things were a bit mellow. Rains, of course, for cycling you need roads, so which weren't there. So hence the podcast also took a break. But in this break, we did something different. We thought about what can you do with a cycle? How far can you go? And that's when we thought of Hit the Road Explorer Edition, where we brought to you some of the most enticing experience of people on two wheels, where they took Kashmir to Kanyakumari, Switzerland, Germany, and any place that you can basically think of. And that's what Exploring with Cycle was about. And yes, we are back with our regular programming. And the first episode of this cycling season, of course, needs to be talked about the latest match for road racing. And who better to talk to than Naveen John himself, who is basically our favorite guest. And people have been wanting to bring him back every time that we talk about road cycling. Just before we begin, so Naveen, just say hi to us.
Hey everyone, good to be back. Second time, third time?
Third time,
lucky.
Yeah. And this time we also thought of doing something a little different. We thought about involving you guys in the podcast. And we asked you guys a few questions that you would like to ask to Naveen. And one lucky person can be a part of this podcast itself and ask him the question person. So we have Shireen Thekre with us this time. Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Rohan.
Okay, and you know what's special about Shireen? She just completed Deccan Cliffhanger, which is one of the most exhilarating experience in ultra cycling in India. It is the event for ultra cycling in India. She just completed a few days back. Congratulations, Shireen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, and now moving to our episode. So as the title and description, talks about, we are talking about NATS, which happened this year. And what was it so different this year? Well, the race held in the battleground of India, Kurukshetra. So, Naveen, tell us something about it.
Hey Ron. It feels like, last time we caught up was probably a year ago. I don't know, this pandemic time is just an illusion. But crazy, 2021 has been a super busy year. It's it's never happened before, but we had two sets of cycling nationals this year. I mean, back in March, February, March, April, we had the anachronic 2020 MTB road and track nationals. And we were lucky enough to have, a whole second set of nationals this year. MTB in October, road just finished in November, and then we've got track coming up in December. So definitely a double bonanza this year. And just grateful that we had two opportunities to race our bikes this year at the top level.
Someone asked me a question. What can we do for, development of road cycling in India and the competitive sports? So I remember you talking about it and mentioning that we need to have more races. That's how it's going to grow. And two
definitely
is a good
got
start.
That. Two is a good start, better than one. Yeah.
So it should be like these seasons which keep coming. So have more of them.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it would be nice to be in a place where we had, more than just a national championships in a year. And I think, with the pandemic, I think the hunger for the sport has grown. The number of people who have entered the sport has grown. Mm. Different ages, not just in the youth, juniors, the senior category. But we definitely saw that. We had massive participation this year back to, peak numbers. Parents out in force, coaches, people out supporting the race, not even racing, but there to cover the race. Things are getting back, man. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
It's not
a train. And it's not a train coming at us.
Awesome. So before we get into this year's, everything that has happened, can you draw a comparo between the races in Feb and March and versus now?
Nationals is usually almost like a Groundhog Day affair. Having this is my ninth Nationals on the road, and It can feel a little like the same thing on repeat every year, especially when I'm the guy who ends up on the top step of the podium of the ITT. But every year is just so different. When you're on the outside, it might seem like it's like something that's on repeat with national championships, especially when you have the same guys showing up. But for me, every nationals has been so unique, and this is the first year where I was. Of my 9 nationals, from a physical performance standpoint, this Nats has been my best performance in the time trial in terms of power, in terms of average speed, and in terms of execution. It was just sublime. There's nothing much more I could have asked in terms of my performance in the time trial. A win might seem like a win on the outside, but behind the scenes, the numbers, the lead up to it, every single athlete comes in with their own set of challenges, and and I had my fair share, but this was a clean run, and super happy with it. Unique in many ways, but similar in a lot also.
So time trial has always been your focus, but what do you think about the road race which happened, or TTT?
The ITT is always my focus because it's that the guy who, it's the marquee event of the road nationals. It's the first, event that's listed on the cumulative results of the event. And winning that allows me to be the first selection for the national team on the road, So it's super important just as a checklist, item. Because if you don't win that, then you have to jump through a lot of hoops in terms of selections and stuff. So for me now, this allows me to just focus on the work and all the goals and opportunities ahead. The road race, it's something that I do for a little bit of fun. It's really hard to win the road races in India, because road races in India always happen on a flat stretch of road. And it's incredibly hard when you're the marked rider. The services have their strategy meetings, before the race, and typically the strategy is pretty simple. It doesn't take a genius to figure out a strategy of how to beat one guy when you have 6 strong guys who look exactly like me, So it's paint Naveen's picture on your stem and make sure you don't let go of him. It's not tactical brilliance. it's not tactical brilliance. It's more like brute force, and so the road race is a little bit of fun. And so, I've told people, for me, the road race is an opportunity for a lot of my coached athletes to get an opportunity to maybe show what they have in the sprint. And this year, I think my best coach athlete result in the race was a 5th. Which is not too shabby. Last year it was 4th. The railways and the services taking the top spots. It's nice that a Watt Bombs athlete is right up there. Who's not in non-services, non.
So who was it? Just for listeners, no.
So it was a kid, 23-year-old Sandresh, who races for Goa, based in Pune for his training. Mom and dad from Maharashtra, right? So kind of a little bit from everywhere. But Sandresh Shedekar. And so it was brilliant seeing him up there in the mix with the railways and services boys, And the TTT this year, I didn't compete because it's an event that I love. It's really close to my heart because it is one of the most beautiful events to witness on the road. And I didn't participate this year because Karnataka didn't really have a team to field, if I rode the TTT myself and just had a bunch of guys behind me, we could have been in 3rd. At some point, there's no point in putting in that kind of an effort just to end up with a bronze medal.
This year, it didn't have participation from Karnataka?
We had riders from Karnataka, but nobody at the level of TTing that I'm at the moment. A close friend of mine, Naveen Raj, decided to sit out nationals this year because he'd competed already once in the year, and coming to nationals and executing a nationals campaign is really expensive. So he said, man, I don't have the resources to, put in 500,000 or 3/4 of a lakh to come to 2 nationals in a year, So he had to sit out of this one. But next year there are plans. I'm stringing together a group of guys, and let's see. Hopefully we can try and put out a beautiful team time trial. Try and hit that 49-50 kph barrier for, 60 kilometers. That's never been done before in India. So that's the goal next year, just to keep things interesting. Yeah, let's see.
It's actually real beautiful to see a TTT in action. So it's actually a symphony, I would
so
say.
So good. So good. When it works well, really good.
So how was the result this year for TDD?
The results this year was the usual. Services dominated that one. The railways were about a minute behind, and third place is pretty much whoever takes the spoils. You know, whoever has a lucky day and doesn't crash, and you know has a bunch of equally strong, you know, four riders usually ends up in third place. This year, I think it was probably Rajasthan. Mm. Last year it was Punjab. Last year it was us. Sorry, Karnataka. But yeah, it's usually one of those teams. You know. But yeah, that was the result in the TTT.
Gotcha. I was going to ask you something, and that's when a photo caught to my attention. That
Which
was
one?
Naveen John going all out on his time trial bike.
Oh,
as if
yeah.
he's going to do a Kaioken to someone. You on a time trial position is like a sniper just going to the... You know, take a shot and
I mean when I'm in time trial mode, the time trial is one of those disciplines where everything just depends on you, you know, and it's such an individual pursuit. It's you against the clock. You know, a lot of people have this idea that time trialing is, oh, how many guys are you trying to catch up the road? Are you looking at that 1 minute man and looking at chasing him down? To be honest, the best time trials are the ones where you're just in your own head and you're just making sure that you're focused on executing your own plan, you know? So, I mean, it took me about 48 minutes and 30 seconds to do the 38.2 kilometers at a 47.4 average at about 345 watts. All personal PBs for me in terms of power and speed and all of that stuff. But really, that entire time, 48 minutes and 30 seconds, there was probably about 5 or 6 1-second intervals where I was not thinking about the effort, where I got distracted, you know. So out of that 48 minutes, 30 seconds, I was probably distracted for about 6 seconds, you know. The rest of the time, I was just so focused on what the task at hand was, which was being safe, focusing on my cadence, focusing on putting out smooth power, focusing on, you know, being as aero as I can on the bike, you know, those four things. Mm. That's really just all that goes through your head. It's clarity is what is required for that kind of an effort. Yeah. Mm.
Do you get a chance to think so much when you are in this Hulk smash mode?
You do, and it's from the outside and in terms of the numbers, it is Hulk smash mode. But inside my head, it is the clearest. To put out that kind of a performance at any level, putting out like a peak performance requires actually the opposite of that rage mentality. It's actually a calm that is so. It's a clear and calmness, you know. I mean, it's hard to describe unless you're there, unless you're doing it. It's a transcendent feeling. It's very hard to communicate. Yeah.
How do you achieve that? Because usually sports is you know related or anger drives performance is what has been the thing.
So there I would contest that. I mean, rage, anger, you know, all these are all negative emotions, and they don't actually drive any sporting performance that is superior. I mean, if you talk to any athlete that performs at the top level, it's the opposite of that. It's the guys who really can focus on the process and who can really just be internally motivated and really in my head, there's no place for any negative energy when trying to perform at your best. You know, I don't think about how much I'm hurting. I think about how fast I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't think about how hard this is. I think about how strong I am. I don't think about am I going to fail. I think about I've done this a million times in training and this is just another day, you know. So in fact, athletes who don't perform on race day are typically fueled by negative emotions. The athletes who perform on race day are fueled by positive emotions, you know, positive mantras, you know. So it's quite the opposite. It's not rage that fuels peak performance in any human pursuit. It's the opposite, you know. It's that calmness, it's that surety, it's that preparation. And the thing that I told my support crew, my one-man support crew, Anish, a friend of mine who was on the ground, was he was with me in a lot of my mock time trial training sessions, and both of us told each other at the end of the ride, wait, was that nationals? What we just did, you know, those 48 minutes, because we'd done 3 mock TTs in the rain, in the cold, in traffic, almost nearly getting hit by trucks, cars. And we were just like, wait, this was nationals? the sessions that we had done in training, you know, when we woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning, when everyone else was sleeping, those were hard. This was easy, you know? Yeah. So it's all about that. It's all about that, making, you know, just being incredibly prepared for race day so that it's just, to be honest, easier than a training day, you know? That's the key. That's the key. Yeah.
I'm sitting on the couch, so I feel that, yeah, it's going very easy and smooth. But what I feel is that you're not just preparing your trainees for Nats. You are preparing them for something much bigger than that. Is that right?
You know what? It is to some extent. You know, I mean, I have this hashtag that I use, beyond national championships, you know, and for me, you know, on the outside, it might seem that I'm trying to increase my win count at nationals, but really I came here to win. In 2012, I came with the goal to win one national championships. I achieved that 2 years later after 2 attempts. On my 3rd attempt, I achieved it. And ever since then, it's not really been about how many nationals can I win, because you're a national champion for a year, and there have been, you know, where are our 26th road nationals, there have been 20, you know, there have been 20 other time trial champions before me in India, and there's going to be 100 more in the future. And so for me the motivation on a personal level, and the motivation that I try to inculcate in my athletes, is that a national championships is just a checkpoint on the journey of your time in Indian cycling. It's the athletes who are able to see beyond kind of that national championship level and realize that there's more to racing than just, you know, winning bike races in India or racing bikes in India. That's the kind of, you know, vision I want to inculcate in my athletes, the ones that I work with. That's how I'd say Wattbomb's athletes are a little different, you know. They're thinking about racing their bikes in Belgium. They're thinking about, you know, getting that opportunity to race at the Asian Championships, and that's the aspirations that I want them to have. You know, it's got to be beyond national championships, but of course, this is an important step to getting there.
Absolutely. We were discussing this before recording as well, but it actually, you know, I'm thinking that you coach your trainees, you race at nationals. A coach has a coach. So how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a coach. I coach a lot of athletes who compete in the same category as me, and in the under 23s and in the under 18s and in sub juniors. Eventually, if there is a Masters Nationals that rolls around, I will be coaching athletes who will be racing Masters Nationals. And one of the big differences in my lead into Nationals this year in 2021 was the fact that I went from being self-coached during the year 2019-2018 to getting back with a coach. You know, I realized that if I want to dedicate more of my time and energy to my athletes and their success, I need to outsource my preparation and my training and my physical progression to someone who can see farther than me in terms of, you know, guiding physical progression. And so that was a choice that I had to make. And, you know, I fortunately found a wonderful coach in Ashton. We work brilliantly. I mean, he is a highly instinctual coach. He's got this phenomenal, I mean, he's changed the world of cycling for people who really follow cycling. He's kind of changed the entire approach to kind of training and even performance in cycling on the track in the individual pursuit. Incredibly down-to-earth guy. I mean, he's the current world champion, beat Filippo Ganna, one of the most phenomenal talents in the sport of cycling. He's done it with a lot less talent than that guy. He's done it with that deep sense of self-belief and incredible instinct for training, combining strength training and training. He thinks outside the box, you know. In his attempt to break the world record, he said, you know what, let's forget what the Italians and the French and all these Europeans have been doing for, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, which is this classical cycling kind of training paradigm. And he threw it out and he worked with a strength training coach, right? And he worked on a middle distance running program, you know, an 800 meter runners kind of training paradigm, applied that to cycling, and broke a world record and a human record that people didn't even think was possible, you know, to go under 4 minutes in the individual pursuit. Is just like unfathomable, you know. It's unfathomable to go to be riding 60 plus kph for 4 kilometers from a standing start. That's insane. Like I've been incredibly lucky to be working with Ashton, and we're working together going forward towards Track Nationals in December, and even beyond that to the Asian Championships on the road in March. And I'm really excited to be working with a coach who it'll be the first time I go into an Asian Championships under the guidance of a coach, you know, because of my last couple outings at the Asian Championships, I did it a little bit solo, along with a little bit of consulting from a former coach of mine. Again, a brilliant coach, but this time it's like, here, you decide what I do on the bike. I go out and do it. I don't think about it, you know. So that's allowed me to focus on my athletes a lot. And it's allowed me to, you know, the challenge there with I'm the kind of coach who really likes to make my athletes' problems my problems. And that's how I differ in my coaching approach. Mm. And it's not about just training plans or workout analysis, but it's about, you know, how can we grow together, and how can we set goals that are bigger than, you know, the national championships? So, yeah.
Mm. You know, looking at these pictures on Instagram and the videos which were taken, it's really good to see that there's some coverage happening on for cycling as a sport. Yeah. And of course, our podcast is there, which is being, you know, which is forming a community to share a platform. But it's these pictures and these, you know, action, which entices people about cycling. And of course, it is a stylish sport.
Absolutely. I think sport is beautiful because, if you think about why sport, I mean, sport inspires us to get out and work up a sweat. And if anything, if there's anything that this pandemic has taught us, is that when we don't have to go to work, when we don't have a way to, earn a living, if it depends if your income is directly connected to work. The only thing we actually have is our health. You know, that's if anything, hopefully we realize that, you know, that adage of health is wealth. I mean, it's the only thing that's in our control, truly. And that's what sport has the power to inspire, right? It has the power to inspire us to make small change, take small positive, actions in our daily life, to sweat once a day. You know, it's not a hard thing to do 10 push-ups or go and ride your bike for 30 minutes. No matter how much time we say we don't have in a day, everyone has to ask that question of, oh, is that 30 minutes worth spending on YouTube or Netflix or, you know, death scrolling on Instagram, or going out and just sweating once a day, right? And so going back to that sport and talking about and capturing the imagery of sport and athletes pushing themselves to their physical potential, that's what the power of sport is. And telling that story is super important because it builds it's important to build a culture of sport. There has to be characters that are interesting, there have to be narratives that are interesting, there have to be rivalries that are interesting, that kind of capture our attention. And so telling the story of a simple thing like a national championships in cycling or any sport is super important, you know. And fortunately, my journey in cycling intersected with a now close friend of mine, Chentils, and he set up actually over the pandemic. We actually sat down together and we said, okay, how can we create some sort of an impact, you know, with the work that we do? You know, me, on the bike, him behind the lens, and this idea of kind of formalizing Sports Anonymous, which is Che's sports photography kind of vertical. We kind of crystallized it. We said, okay, let's actually think about it in a way that's, how can it be something that lasts beyond just, you know, a national championship cycle or a covering a local community race? How can it become a business essentially, right? And so we sat down, we made a bunch of like cards like this and put down, you know, what are the key kind of verticals or the pillars on which sports marketing, you know, business would be built on. And Che has done a phenomenal job in kind of executing on that. I think if you look at any of the images from Nationals, it has a Sports Anonymous watermark on it. And people are actually proud to, normally people crop out the watermark, but here it's so classy looking that people want the Sports Anonymous. It almost looks like it's covered in Sports Illustrated or something, you know? So all of that, you know, creating that, that visual class is it's with a lot of intent, you know, and it's good to see it taking off. Another friend of mine actually covered this, Nationals with video footage, and hopefully we'll see a little small video documentary of my build into Nationals. Let's see, they're looking for a little bit of help in terms of, monetary help to kind of, you know, produce it and, you know, do the edit work and stuff like that. It should be a fun little, you know, 10-20 minute documentary, hopefully, that follows.
I feel this is what drives, drives people to the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. You need characters, you need rivalries, people like that. I mean, it makes them feel like something's happening, you know, and something is happening. Yeah. So, yeah, it's warranted.
So true. But, you know, adding to that, people want professional, a sport to be professional. But for that, you also need professionalism in the sport. And I think these small steps is what will make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, what does it mean to be a professional cyclist? I mean, you'll see a lot of, cyclists on Instagram and all of that who have the word professional in their name, in their title or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's professionalism is not a word, it's an action, right? And are you professional in your training? Are you professional in the sacrifices that you make? You know, I mean, that's what it's about. And that's what I try to kind of focus on, kind of the actions of being professional versus the label, right? Hopefully more people are adopting that. So it's good to see.
Right. Yeah. So before we move on to the next, part of our episode, so we received a few questions from our listeners. So one of them was from Vincent, who asked, how did you achieve 100 plus watts in your TT average power? So what's some secret to your
power? To be honest, you know, this was my best power PB in a TT, and when me and my coach sat down together, I put down the events that I target during a year, and I put down Nationals, and in the title of my national champion, I actually put up a post on Instagram somewhere with the picture of my full training plan, and on Nationals Day, I said, Indian Nationals ITT 2021, my goal for the day was ride a fast 40 kilometers at 345 watts average. You know, I wrote down this goal, right? And and I think a huge secret to achieving goals are actually writing down and putting down things on paper and making sure you look at them every day. Like my wallpaper right now on my computer desktop, of course, now I will change it, was the last 3 weeks in my build into Nationals, you know, and besides me, I've got a couple notes here that I've put on the wall that remind me about what my goals are. You know, I mean, it's a simple act of just writing down things. But then before, you talk about your goals, you write down your goals. These goals have to be realistic. They have to be based on something you have done in the past, right? They have to be incremental, right? That's something that a lot of people miss. And then finally, sitting down with a person you trust, developing a plan towards that goal, and making sure you check off, every day's to-do list, you know, every day's training plan, you know, and everything around training also, you know. So I would say if there is one secret, it is write down your goals, make sure they're realistic, make sure they're incremental, have a plan towards that day, and then just execute. There's nothing magical in there. Mm. You know, it's all the basics. It's all the basics that matter. So, yeah.
Can unrealistic goals be real?
I mean, occasionally it is good to have unrealistic goals, like, but I think it's best. I think unrealistic goals are best left to the universe to decide. In some sense, what I mean by that is, you know, for example, when I set the goal of in my head of I want to win one national championships, I never had the goal of I want to win six or seven, right? And if I said, but I did fancy it. I did fancy it at some point. It'd be nice to win more than one. But to be honest, it's all about prioritizing, right? You can prioritize this. Unrealistic goal or this fantasy of 6-7.
Break it into steps.
Yeah, but ultimately without the first one, you're never going to get to 7, you know? So, and instead of being this hypothetical space, it's always good to be grounded in reality, you know? So I think that's important.
Mm. Got it. Now, moving on, the meat of the chat is about track cycling. And I don't know why I'm very positive on this, that it's going to be very big in future. And we did have one or two conversations in the past about this in the podcast as well. But what is your take on track cycling? So last year also you did, you know, do an attempt, and I'm sure it would have been quite fruitful learning for you. I think that was your first time into track cycling.
Correct. Yeah. So track cycling in March was my first track nationals. And this is going to be my second attempt at track nationals. And, you know, my first attempt at track nationals, it was my first time where I got to see the energy around track cycling in India. You know, track cycling is kind of it's a very inaccessible sport in some sense, because you need a velodrome. Right. And in India, we've got about 6 or 7 functional velodromes spread across the country, you know. And track cycling is never going to be the common man's sport. You know, it is it has and always will be an elite sport. And, you know, for riders at the top level, and a great sport to spectate and follow on television, because it's extremely coverage friendly, because everything happens in a 250-meter round circle. Mm. Exactly. Cameraman has to stand in the center and just pan, right? That's it. So coverage-wise, also brilliant. I mean, it's a brilliantly televisable sport, right? It's kind of like as close as cycling gets to an arena sport like basketball or badminton or something like that. Yeah. So there's a huge... It happens quickly. The longest event is about, you know, 30 minutes. The shortest is about 10 seconds, you know. So in a world where people's attention spans are increasingly getting shorter, track cycling from a commercial perspective ticks all the boxes, right? But it's never going to be the sport that gets more people on bicycles to a large extent, you know. We can win you can win 100 medals in track cycling, you know, as GB showed, Great Britain showed, in modern cycling, they're the country that has seen the biggest positive outcome of elite cycling success, right, at the Olympics. Track cycling, Britain won a ton of medals in the Olympics in Beijing and London, but it was Wiggins winning the Tour de France on the road that led to the explosion of cycling, actually people riding more bikes, right? Because anyone can commute to work. Not everyone can ride on the velodrome, right? So there is that reality about what track cycling has to offer. It can offer a winning country that tag of being of having achieved sporting supremacy, which leads to a lot of other, you know, geopolitical kind of stuff. But track cycling in India, yes, there is a lot of the energy that you are feeling around track cycling in India is hugely a result of the success that we've had in the last 6 years since 2015 of basically one facet of track cycling, the Indian Junior track sprint program, right? And the big change that has happened this year is that the athletes that were the cohort of that program and of that success have finally graduated to the elite level in track cycling.
Yeah.
They've all aged out, right? So now the true test of whether that is something that is going to last is, can these junior athletes translate their junior success, where they were vested with resources that are only typically reserved for elite track cycling. India had that fortune of having an under 18 program that had more money than some of the elite programs that perform and produce success at the Olympics, right? But that's the way you have to start ultimately, right? Now, the question is, can that junior level success be translated into elite level success? And that story is just unfolding now. And it'll be the story of the next next Olympic cycle, right? To Paris, which this year is only 3 years long, right? So that's the energy that you're feeling. It's the energy of success of the junior program, which we have to wait and see if that can be translated into elite success. As far as my kind of aspirations in track cycling, my focus is on the opposite end of the sprint side. It's in the endurance side. It's the 4 kilometer individual pursuit, which is the equivalent of the 40 kilometers on the road. And in that, India has not had too much success, but there is optimism there too if you follow the sport on a very granular level. In the last 2 years, the Indian records have finally started to come down in the individual pursuit. Last year at Track Nationals, we had two riders break the long-standing Indian individual pursuit record on the outdoor velodrome. And I largely believe the reason for that is because those two guys saw me standing on the other side of the velodrome, because when I was there, there was this energy, Naveen has come to the track. And in my training rides, there were like 10 people with stopwatches checking what times I was doing for my laps, you know, trying to predict whether I would be able to beat these guys. These guys are my competitors when we are wearing bibs and lycra, but we talk afterwards. I could tell the excitement that they had when they saw that, you know, I've finally come to the track. It's given everyone a sense of energy, and I'm glad. You know, I'm glad. And it motivates me to also raise the bar and set a bar where people are like, oh man, now we've got to go that fast, you know? So it's highly personally motivating to kind of be that guy who's kind of unofficially vested with the charge of, you know, raising the bar. it makes my life incredibly hard, but there's no other way I'd rather have it. You know, it'd be quite boring if the Indian record was some low target that was easy to get. You know, it pushes me in training. It pushes me to stay focused. It pushes me to invest my limited resources into this area. I've spent more on track cycling in the last year than I have on road cycling. I have to invest in a lot of equipment and stuff like that. Hopefully that kind of moves things forward slowly, you know. Let's see where it goes.
Is this going to be a transition from road to track someday soon, 100%?
No, not quite. So they both quite work well together. They complement each other really well because the track adds pure speed. You know, on the track, you're going, you know, 50 to 60 Ks an hour. On the road, you're going 40 to 50 Ks an hour. So track just adds a turbo to the roadside, you know. So if you're working with a good coach like I am, then transitioning from one to the other can be done effectively. You know, it has its challenges, but nobody else is attempting to do that, perform on the top level in the track and the top level on the road in India. Nobody is doing that, right? So that's something that there is one other rider that's doing it, actually. The guy who was second in the time trial, Dinesh Kumar, a rider in the services. He was second place in the individual 4 kilometer pursuit last year. I would say him and I are the only two riders who are combining track and road at the top level in India. You know, so that's a unique challenge, and it's something that I need to keep myself interested in this sport. You know, otherwise it gets boring winning bike races in the time trial. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you in Asian Championship as well in the track.
One step at a time.
But when you talk about people taking your, timing, so Naveen John and his track and TT cycle. So one song comes to my mind, that is Diloka Shooter Hai Mera Scooter.
I've not heard the song, but I might have to put it on my playlist.
Don't put it in check.
Okay, advice taken.
Anyway, Shirin, you want to ask something to Naveen?
Hi. Yes, I wanted to ask you, sir, how do you keep yourself motivated for so many years? Like, it's been
good,
like a long
good question. Good question. I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's been, I came to Indian Cycling in 2012. It's 2021. That's 9 years. 2022 is going to be my 10th year in Indian Cycling. Before that, I got into racing in 2018. So 4 years before that. So 4 + 9 is about, if my math is correct, it's about 13 years. And, that is a long time. At the same time, it isn't. I mean, time is a little bit of an illusion, isn't it? I mean, we all operate on the scale of time. You know, time is running out. You know, okay, 40 kilometers takes 48 minutes and 30 seconds. That's time. The pandemic ate 2 years of our lives to achieve sporting goals or, you know, maybe career goals and things like that. And the way I look at time is this. I mean, I look at my life as paid, and I got this metaphor or this way of thinking about life from somewhere. I don't remember where, but forget about time. It's life is like, you know, each of us have a book that we write in life, and our books of life have chapters, and you decide when the chapter starts and when the chapter ends, and what the end of that chapter looks like, you know. Time can be used as a constraint to determine the length of a chapter. But the way I look at it is, you know, have I achieved everything that I want to do? Have I squeezed out my physical potential? And when I feel that that is achieved, I start writing the end of this chapter, right? Because 2012 to 2021 is my chapter in Indian competitive road cycling. 2008 to 2012 was my chapter of getting into competitive racing and learning the ropes and doing it for pure fun of it. I didn't care about results, you know, and even now I don't care about results. I just love racing my bike. I love setting goals. I love committing to something. I love sacrificing other things. I'm just absolutely in love with the whole process of what it takes to be competitive, you know, or to get the most out of myself. Like I said, the thing that I was most happy about at this national championships is finally I put out a power and speed PB at nationals. You know, I've kept doing it in training rides before nationals, and I was so frustrated. I was like, damn it, I just want to get my best TT on race day, you know, and now I want to take this lesson forward to the Asian championships, because at the Asian championships, all of a sudden, I'm not top dog, right? And there's like 7 other guys or 5 other guys who are faster than me. You know, the best guys in China, Japan, Kazakhstan, Hong Kong, right? These are the best in Asia, right? When I perform on that field, all of a sudden, my mentality is switched. You know, it's here I'm like, I am trying to beat myself, right? I'm trying to beat the level I set for myself last year. But when an Indian athlete goes to perform at the Asian level or the world level, all of a sudden there's this switch that happens, which we realize or don't realize, which is all of a sudden we're not thinking about beating ourselves. We're thinking about how do we beat this other superior guy, right? Superior in our head. But at the end of the day, we're all humans. Okay, maybe someone is genetically more gifted. But can I outwork my previous self? And so really for me at the Asian Championships, my game that I have to play is all in my head and, of course, in my preparation, where I have to line up to the start line saying, hey, I'm just here to get the best out of myself. Can I perform the same way? Can I do the same 345 watts? Can I do a 350 at the Asian Championships? Because I know if I do that, I'm going to produce a result that's never been, you know, that's never been achieved by an Indian road cyclist in the Asian road scene, you know. But I've only just started to think like that, you know, because I've always gone in with the mentality of a player, but not a competitor at the Asian level, right? Whereas in India, I go in with the mentality of a top level competitor, right? So back to your original question of motivation, I answered it not by quite answering it, but hopefully I shared a couple ways I think about it that maybe hopefully answer that question to some extent.
It does. Thank you so much.
Cool. No, pleasure. Yeah.
Awesome. So Naveen, just few things left. So one of them is how's the calendar for 22? Hope that Omicron doesn't disrupt.
I know, right? I mean, the last time I put out a full calendar was in January of 2020. That didn't end well. So January 2020, I put a post saying, okay, this is all what is coming up for the year. And some person on Instagram, typically you don't know who's on the other side with all the handles and stuff, commented, cool calendar. And then, 2 months later, it was the lockdown. And then that guy actually took the trouble to come back and post, up calendar gaya. You know, I mean, the calendar is completely blasted now. I'm like, the way I think about it is this, right? Man proposes, the universe disposes. I've got a calendar. This time it's in my head. It's shared with the people that actually might have a role in the success of me executing that calendar. History has taught me there's no real advantage to putting out the calendar because all you're going to get is smart comments on Instagram. So I've kept it, in an Excel sheet. I've shared it with my coach. I've shared it with a couple people that will play an important role in determining the outcome of that calendar. But as of now, I'll just say Track Nationals in December and with Omicron's blessing. And Omicron permitting, Asian Championships in the end of March in Tajikistan on the road. That's how far I'm willing to put out my calendar as of now. But yeah.
Interesting how Asian Games always happens in Central Asia, not anywhere else.
Is there a specific affinity
towards that place, geography?
So, Asian Games is happening this year in China. Commonwealth Games is happening in Birmingham. Those are the big calendar title fights. World Championships is happening in Wollongong in Australia. That's August, September, October, November will be road, MTB road and track again. So that's kind of the gist of what the year looks like. Not for me necessarily, but yeah.
So you have done now road, you have entered into track. MTB is remaining.
I'm pretty good at the MTB. I raced a little bit when I was in college and I could probably be national champion in the MTB, but it's too much of a resource hog. MTB is an incredibly expensive sport, more so than road and track. Track has the least amount of wear and tear on your equipment. Road second. MTB you can spend $1 lakh in a month, on equipment just because you just encounter so much wear on your equipment. So it's not something that I have the resources for. If somebody wants to throw some money at me, I'll go ahead and get into MTB, but I'm not really interested in that. So I'm interested in it, but I don't have the resources to spread too thin,
Sponsors, Naveen is here and I am also here. So if anyone wants to sponsor Hit the Road, I'm open. We can do a lot more, we can also do some coverage. That's how sports will also grow.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we had asked a few questions to our listeners and one or two questions I'm going to pick before we end. So there's Godspeed cyclist Tejas asking you how to improve aerobic base for cycling.
In two words, ride lots. It's as simple as that. I got the most common question that I got asked at Nationals is, how do I get better at cycling? The question that I ask in response to that is, how many kilometers do you ride in a year? Typically, the answer is around 4,000 to 5,000, or I don't know. Those are the two answers that I got. The way I look at it is this. Even I set my annual goals this way, even at the top level. I set a annual goal for kilometers. So on Strava, I've set it to, I think, 22,000 kilometers. Right now, I'm at around 18,000. You really have to set some macro goals for yourself. The only way you can achieve 20,000 kilometers at the end of the year is if you break it down further into, I need to ride 400 kilometers in a week. And the only way you can achieve 400 kilometers in a week is if you ride your bike 4 days in a week or 5 days in a week, between 60 to 100 kilometers, right? And to answer that question, it all starts from asking yourself, what do you want to, how many runs do you want to put on the board this year, you know? And if pick a number and of course be realistic about it. If you did 5,000 kilometers last year, don't go for 25 this year, you know. Maybe try and double that. I think the average cyclist full-time working or you know, mom with kids or dad with job or whatever should be able to do 10,000 kilometers in a year. That's only about 200 kilometers in a week. If you think about it, that's 200 kilometer rides or 450 kilometer rides. Come on, that's like that. If you don't have time for that, just cancel your Netflix subscription. You know, the time will appear. You know, so I mean, sweat once a day, simple.
Well, that answers it. So yep. Tejas is also asking one more question. Why do TT cyclists not perform so well in road race? So I would tweak this question a bit. What different does a strategy need to be worked when it comes to these two disciplines?
Yeah. Tejas's question is asked in the frame of reference of where he sees the sport of cycling, which is kind of the only race that Tejas actually looks at, and where he asks this question, the perspective he's asking from is why doesn't a time trialist who's dominating in the time trial just able to ride away in the road race at Indian Nationals, because that's the one he sees coverage for, et cetera, et cetera. It's simple because Indian National road races all happen on flat courses. When you're on a flat course and you have 10, 12 guys who are strong, if you look at the physics of it, just the physics, the aerodynamics, the numbers, it's physically impossible for one person to ride away from a field, because when you're sitting on the front going 55 kph like I am, you're doing 400 watts, right? But if you think about it, the guy sitting on your wheel is doing somewhere around 120. Anyone can do 120 watts. A human being can do 120 watts. So that is to say that to attempt to break away and ride away from a road field in India, you need to put out a lot of power. To sit on a wheel and finish a road race in India, you don't need to put out a lot of power. So people are conflating the ability to win a race with the ability to finish a race, right? They're thinking that it is easy to finish the road race, but it is hard. And I'm saying it is hard to win it, right? To sit in the bunch is easy. To break away from a field is incredibly hard. In fact, it's 4x as hard in terms of wattage, right? But the magic would happen if you put this entire Indian road race field in a race in Belgium, where in a 120 kilometer race, there would be about 120 corners. There would be bad roads, cobbles, wind, rain, hills. In that race, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I would ride away from everybody, right? So when the conditions are tough, when the course is challenging, when the conditions are selective, when a challenging course emerges, you know, something besides just a flat piece of road where we go up and down, where you can see the riders in front, right? Yeah. It's incredibly hard to win that race, to be honest, and not exaggerating, but even if a rider like, Peter Sagan showed up to this Indian Nationals road race course, you know, I'd be able to stay on his wheel, you know, and a lot of, because it's just the math of it, you know, I mean, it's a non-selective course.
How long will you go all out?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if Peter Sagan did, you know, his threshold 380 watts for an hour, I'd still be able to sit on his wheel because I'd only have to do 200 watts, you know. So that's the reason why it's not easy to win races on non-selective courses. You have to rely on bad luck, you know, puncture, crashes and things like that to win. And nobody gives a strong cyclist an inch of room. I don't give Dinesh an inch of room. When he moves, I move. When I move, he moves, you know. At the end of the day, we're all human. You can't do 2,000 watts, you know, and get away from somebody unless you're on something. So
And it's not road race, so you can't kick anyone.
Exactly, because ultimately once the jersey comes off, we're all friends off the bike. So you can only smash each other using our pedals.
Awesome. So I think that was a very fruitful conversation with Naveen John and our special listener on the podcast, Shireen Kekre. So I hope you guys had a lot of fun listening to this and took some great insights on the coming season and what can you do to be better at cycling. So there's a lot more coming on Hit the Road. So now that we are back in action, do let us know what you thought about this episode. And yes, keep interacting with us. Maybe next time you can be a part of the episode. All right, listeners, make sure you comment down your thoughts. If there is anything to ask, I'm sure Navin would be happy to answer your questions further. This is me, for Rohan, sure. Signing off. Make sure you subscribe to Hit the Road on your preferred podcast streaming app so that you get notified when we come next. This is me, Rohan. Goodbye.
Awesome.